بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We will start inshallah in today's program the hadith related to التيمم known as dry ablution. And this is a substitute to be used for purity when using the water is not possible, whether due to lack of water or due to an illness that prevents a person from using it. And we have hadith number 38, and who will read it for us inshallah? Yes, Muhammad Aman.
Narrated Imran ibn Hussein al-Khuzai, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw a person sitting aloof and not praying with the people. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him, O so and so, what prevented you from offering the prayer with the people? He replied, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I am junub, in a state of major sexual impurity, and there is no water. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, perform tayammum with clean earth and that will be sufficient for you.
Okay, now this hadith includes a number of great messages and lessons to us, especially for those who live in an Islamic country. Unfortunately, most of those who live in Islamic countries like myself, we notice that at times of prayer, when all shops are obliged and forced to be closed by law so that people would pray, we find not tens, not hundreds, thousands of people standing on the streets at their shops and not praying. And this is increasing more and more. And this leads those who pray like me to be encouraged not to pray. Because if everybody's not praying, so why should I be praying? The Islamic concept is not like that. The community of a Muslim is a whole. It's united. We all pray. And we must all pray. And that is why the Prophet himself, who is the head of the state, when he saw a man who was not praying, he did not neglect it. He himself went to him and asked him, why didn't you pray? Which indicates that it is not a small or a separate incident. This was the norm of the Prophet ﷺ, that whenever he saw someone who did not pray, he would come and question him and advise him to go and pray. And if he refuses, he reprimands him ﷺ. So the man gave his excuse. Likewise, in Hajj, in Mina, the Prophet offered Fajr prayer, and then after finishing the prayer, he saw two men who did not pray. So he instructed the companions to bring them. So they were brought to him and they were shaking and trembling because, wow, the Prophet ﷺ is calling for us. We must have done something extremely dangerous. So the Prophet said, why did you not pray with us? Aren't you Muslims? Look at the question. And the man said, yes, Prophet of Allah, but the prayer was called while we were in our camps away. So we prayed Fajr and came. But we saw you praying, so we prayed. What did the Prophet say? Did they say, okay, khalas? No. He wanted to stop this. And he said, next time you come and you find the people praying and you have prayed, join them. Join them. It will be nafil for you. It will be voluntary for you. Why? So that if passers-by looked at you not praying, they would not think, as I thought, that you were not Muslim. And if passers-by came and saw everybody's praying and nobody's outside, they will join. But they will, when they see two are not praying, they would make them three. They would add four. They would add five to them. So the issue of prayer is quite important in our religion. extremely important, but unfortunately, our brother Muslims are neglecting it. Let's go back to the hadith. The Prophet, when he asked the man, he said, I am in the state of janaba. I can't pray. And there is no water. So the Prophet taught him what to do, alayhi salatu wasalam. He instructed him to make tayammum and using whatever is on top of this earth, whether it's sand, whether it's rock, whether it's tiles, whether it's ceramic, anything can do. As long as it's considered to be part of the ground, you can make tayammum with it. Not only, as we know before, the things that have dust to them, anything on the ground is sufficient and you can make tayammum with, and we will come to know how to make this tayammum, inshallah, in the following hadith. Now, is tayammum mentioned in the Quran? In how many verses? How many verses? In two verses. In Surah An-Nisa and in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 4 and 5, I think, right? 4 and 5. And Allah tells us that if you are in the state of sexual impurity, if you're traveling, if you're sick and you're unable to use water or have access to it, then you make tayammum. And here we know the difference between tayammum and using water. Because using water for sexual impurity and for ablution is different. You use a sa' for this, you use a mud for that. The different ways of washing, different limbs of washing. In tayammum, it's one for both. And we will get to get this, inshallah, in the second hadith, hadith number 39. So who will recite this for us, inshallah? Hadith 39.
Ammar bin Yasir reported that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sent me on an errand, and I had a seminal emission. I became junub, but could not find any water. So I rolled myself over in the dust, just as an animal does. I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and made a mention of that to him. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it would have been sufficient for you to do thus. Then he lightly struck the earth with his hands once and wiped his right hand with the help of his left and the exterior of his palms and his face.
Ammar ibn Yasir. Is he one of the people of Mecca or Medina originally? He is from Mecca, so he is a migrant. His father is Yasir and his mother is Sumayya. May Allah be pleased with them, one of the first to be martyred in Islam. And Ammar ibn Yasir is telling us about this incident, but there is a prolonged version to it. And the prolonged version was that Ammar and Umar, may Allah be pleased with them, were both on a trip outside the skirts of Medina and they did not have water with them. And subhanAllah, both of them woke up in a state of janaba. So it was Fajr time. Umar did not pray at all. Ammar, not having water, he rolled like an animal on the sand, as in this hadith. And then he prayed. When they both came to the Prophet ﷺ and the Prophet knew of this, he told Ammar, it was enough for you to do this. And he lightly struck the earth with his hands. And then he washed his face and he wiped his palm, exterior and interior, the hand, the whole hand. Now this story, Ammar kept on telling it to people, teaching it to people, because it is an example of how to make tayammum. When Umar was Khalifa, some people came to him and said, Ammar says so and so and so. And Ammar was summoned to Umar. They told him, come, Umar wants to see you. So Ammar told him, what is it, Khalifa of the Prophet ﷺ or Amir al-Mu'mineen? He said, Ammar, what are you saying to the people? He told him, yani my brother, you forgot? This happened to you and me. This and this and this and this And this is what the Prophet told you, and this is what the Prophet told me. Umar did not have any recollection of this. He said, Ammar, fear Allah. Fear Allah in what you're telling people. Ammar said, oh, Khalifa, if you want, I will not tell anyone about it. Khalas, this is the end of it. And Umar, believing in the truth that Ammar was saying, unable to remember, he said, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. Go ahead and talk to people about it, but it is your responsibility in front of Allah. I, for myself, completely forgot. What do we learn from this? We learn from this that the four schools of thought differ a lot among themselves because of a reason such as this. Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy on his soul, compiled a beautiful book called Raf' al-Malam, عن الأئمة الأعلام, which means or translates roughly to uplifting the blame from the prominent imams. What blame are you talking about? The blame of differing. Why does Imam Shafi'i say so and Abu Hanifa say so? So he compiled the reasons why they differed. Not because they were corrupt, أعوذ بالله, but there were logical reasons for their differences. Among them, that they may not have heard of the evidence. As in the case of Umar. Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, did not hear of this story before. Not because he wasn't there, he forgot it. So when you read this book and when you apply it to the different schools of thought, you appreciate that. And you know that our scholars did not differ because they wanted to fight or they wanted to debate or they wanted to be prominent more than the other. They differed because this is the knowledge they had and they had to work with that knowledge. If they did not receive the hadith, if they did not learn the hadith, they could not follow it. Going back to the hadith, there are other narrations that the Prophet struck the earth twice. But the majority of scholars say that these two strikes are not authentic. And the authentic one is to strike the earth only once. We have a break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.